Who do you think of when you think of Bible heroes? I don't know who your mind jumps to. You might think about Noah, who spent around 100 years building an ark while he was being ridiculed, while he was preaching. You might say that Noah wasn't very successful. He preached for 100 years, but I'll tell you, I believe he was successful because he saved his family. He was a great man. Maybe you jump over to Moses and you think about Moses and how, even though he was quick to make excuses, when he did what God said, led God's people out of Egypt. Maybe you think about Joshua. Oh, you remember Joshua, the young helper of Moses who led God's people into the promised land. Maybe you think about Gideon. Gideon's always one of my favorites because when we find him, he's hiding. And he's just trying to get enough food to eat. He's scared. And he's greeted with these words, "Oh, thou valiant valiant warrior. God said, "I want you to go defeat the Midianites." And he said, "I can't do it. I'm the youngest son of the smallest family of the least tribe. It's impossible." God said, "I'll be with you." And he went, and the Bible tells us that he defeated the Midianites as one man. Maybe you think about Paul, who went on those great missionary journeys and wrote most of the New Testament. Truly a great man. But I want us to talk about us this morning, because we can be great too. Sometimes people get a little confused because, you see, God doesn't think like we think. And sometimes I've heard people say, "You know, Brother Mayo, if I had $1 million, I would..." Well, you don't have $1 million. In fact, I don't think I know anybody that does have $1 million. That's not the question. The question is, what are you doing with what you have? You see, it's easier to think about things we can't do and say, well, I can't do that, than it is to think about the things we can do. God doesn't ask us to do great things. He asks us to be great people by doing the things that we can do. There's an interesting passage in the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament. In Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" Now, I know they were talking about the new temple that they were building. Well, that's a good question. Who has despised the day of small things? And I think we have. Because we tend to think, well, if I can't do anything great, I just won't do anything at all. I want us to understand this morning that we can be great. And what makes us great is by doing what we can do. God doesn't expect you to do what you can't do, but he does expect all of us to do what we can do. I want us to talk this morning about some great people in the Bible. What do you know about Andrew? Andrew is a great man in the Bible. What do you know about Andrew? Well, we know he was a fisherman. We know he was Peter's brother. We know that Jesus called him to be an apostle. And that's about it, except one more thing. That one more thing is found in the Gospel of John. Let's go over there, John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to read verse 40 and 41. John chapter 1, verse 40 says this. "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." He brought his brother to Christ. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. What do you know about Peter? Oh, the Bible really has books, literally, that talk about what Peter has done. But it was Andrew who went and said to his brother, "We have found the Messiah. Come and see. Come and see."
He brought his brother to Christ. That's a great thing. He was a great man. That's all we know about him. I'm sure he did other things, but that's all that Scripture records about Andrew for us. But he was a great man because he did what he could do.
Turn over with me to Acts chapter 9. There's a great lady talked about in this passage. Tabitha or Dorcas. In Acts chapter 9, we'll begin reading in verse 36. It says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which interpreted is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber, and forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay and come to them. And Peter arose and went with them, and when he had come, he was brought into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. And Peter told them all to leave, and we know the story. He raised her from the dead. Now then, when you think about great people of the Bible, do you think about Dorcas? I do. And I'll tell you what, the people of Joppa did too. You know what she did? She had the ability to make clothes. And so she made clothes and gave them to the widows. That's a great thing. The Bible says of her, she was full of good works and alms deeds. She was a great lady. Did she defeat the Midianites? No. Did she lead God's people out of captivity? No. But I tell you what, she made things better for some of God's people. That's a great thing. She did what she could do. She had a talent to make clothes. She used that to help others. You see, God doesn't see greatness as we see greatness. He doesn't ask us to go do great things. He asks us to be great by doing those things that we can do. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, we're going to find a woman of great faith. The Bible doesn't even record her name. And yet, here we are in Wetumpka, Alabama, talking about her this morning because of the faith that she showed in her life. Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 41. "And Jesus said over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living." So Jesus was sitting over watching how people were giving. And it says many rich people came and gave much. Jesus called his disciples, come here. Did you see that? I'm sure they'd seen all those rich people casting much, and I'm sure they would say, we saw that. And Jesus said, no, not that. You missed it. Because they had much, they gave much, they kept much, and that's not much. But this poor widow had just a little, and she gave it all. That's faith. You know why? That's all she had to live on. She was trusting in God. She trusted God so much that she put all that she had in. Two mites, which make a farthing. Not enough for us even to think about. And if we saw it, and just like the disciples, we'd probably not even thought a thing of it. But you see, with God, He sees things differently than we do. What if you saw someone this morning put $1,000 in the contribution? We might say, oh, that's a lot. But if he sold land this week for $1 million, that's not much. God doesn't ask us to do what we can't do, but God does ask us to do all that we can do. And that's what makes us great. There are so many people throughout the pages of the Bible that we read over their lives and we go on to people who did great things. And maybe that's a mistake. Maybe we need to stop and examine some of these other great people that we read about in the Bible. How many of you remember Shammah? Shammah, who's that? Well, I'll tell you who he was. His life is, or something that he did, is recorded for us in 2 Samuel chapter 23. He's listed as one of David's mighty men. Oh, yeah, mighty man. What did he do? You know what he did? He defended a bean field. That's it. The Philistines were coming upon them. They met them at this bean field. Everybody else ran except Shammah. He stood to defend the bean field. Now, I want you to answer honestly in your mind. If you just heard that a man defended a bean field, would you think that's a great thing? God saw it as a great thing. God said, he is one of David's mighty men. Mark chapter 9, verse 41. Mark chapter 9, verse 41. Jesus said, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. A big thing? Jesus evidently thought so. He said, you know, if somebody gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to me, that person won't lose their reward. Is that a big thing to give somebody some water? We would say no. But God says yes. God does not ask you to do something great, but he asks you to be great by doing what you can do. Now, what can you do? There's things that all of us can do. A number of years ago, I knew a woman who was shut in. She was bedridden. One of the most amazing people I've ever met. You know what? She never, ever complained about her situation. I never heard her once complain about her situation. In fact, if you went to visit her, when you left, you felt better. She was an encourager. She couldn't come to worship. She couldn't leave her house. But you know what she did every week? She would write letters of encouragement to members of the church and send them to them. That's amazing. A little thing? No. A big thing. A number of years ago, when my oldest son was just little, my second son was a baby. We went to worship, and of course, I was preaching, and my wife was sitting down there with the two boys, and my oldest son was absolutely horrible. And most of the times, he was pretty good, but that Sunday, He was a terror. He would not sit down. He would not be still. He would not be quiet. We got in the car and my wife said, I should have just stayed home. I didn't get anything out of that lesson. I feel exhausted. Monday morning came. My son was sitting on the couch with a pencil and a piece of paper. And he was too little to write, so he was scribbling. And my wife said, oh, what are you writing? He said, make the tree good and the fruit good. And that was my sermon the morning before. He heard it all. He took it all in. So, mothers, when you get up on Sunday morning and you wear yourself out, getting your children ready to come to worship, and you bring them to learn about God, that's a big thing. That's a great thing. That's something we can do. And we might think, oh, it's exhausting. But you know what? They're listening. They're learning. That's a great thing. Let's be great by doing what we can do. You know what we can do? We can come to every service of the church. All to Jesus, I surrender, Sunday morning. Brethren, we can come to the services of the church. Do you know what? Worship services are for us. They're for our benefit. You know what? I feel better after I've worshiped. And I've told people, I wish I had a dollar for every time somebody at the back door told me, you know what, I had a headache tonight, I thought about not coming, but after I feel better. Worship makes us feel better. It charges our battery. It gets us ready to go out and live the Christian life throughout the week. Brethren, that's not a big thing, but it's a great thing. Come. You know why we come? What? There's a lot of reasons the Bible why it tells us we come, but one reason is to encourage and be encouraged. If you're not here, guess what? You can't encourage someone else, and you cannot be encouraged by someone else. And so one thing we can do is we can come and encourage others and be encouraged by others. Another thing we can do is we can pray for one another. I don't know how often you pray for one another. I hope you pray a lot for one another. When I was in West Virginia, I worked for a congregation. We had about 250 members. And I spent at least one morning a week, and usually two mornings a week, praying through the directory. I just opened the directory and prayed name by name by name by name. You know why? Because everybody needs prayer. We need to pray for one another. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. We need to pray for one another. We need to take time to pray. And that's something we can do. Is that a little thing? No. Prayer is powerful. Another thing you can do, you can read your Bible. Oh, what preacher? I don't have time to read my Bible. How many of you watched the Alabama game yesterday? Yeah. We listened to it on the radio. We were driving down here. We make time for what's important to us. Brethren, this needs to be important to us because this is why we have life. We need to take time. You know what? Prayer is the way we talk to God. And the way that God talks to us is through the Bible. Now, let me ask you wives out there. Would you have a good relationship with your husband if, you know, you got up in the morning and you made him breakfast and he said, thank you for the food. And then lunchtime, you made him a nice sandwich and he ate it and he said, thank you for the food. And then in the evening, you worked hard. You made him this nice dinner and he came in, he sat down, he ate it and he said, thank you for the food. And then as you lay there in bed together at night, you began to talk and he fell asleep. And that's all he ever said to you. Would you have a good relationship? But isn't that how we talk to God? Thank you for the food. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the food. God, today, we wake up the next morning and say, oh, I must have fallen asleep while I was praying. We need to be a people of prayer. When we read through the Bible, God's people are a people of prayer. You think about Nehemiah.
Daniel, men of prayer. Think about Jesus often going off to pray. We talked this morning in Bible class a little bit of one reason the church grew in the first century. Go through the book of Acts. Here's another challenge for you. Read through the book of Acts and mark every time they prayed. You'll be shocked how much it talks about prayer. God's people are people of prayer. We need to pray about everything in our lives. We need to study our Bibles. You know, you can be a daily Bible reader and read one verse a day. It'll take you just over 85 years to read through the Bible. You won't know what the Bible's about, but you can say, I've been a daily Bible reader. We need to do more. We need to read God's Word. We need to know His will for us. Another thing we can do is we can encourage one another. I'm encouraged by your presence here today. We can encourage one. You know, encouraging one another is not a hard thing to do, but it's an important thing to do. I was at a congregation in Texas a couple of weeks ago, and I overheard a conversation. There was a man standing there in the foyer before services started, and a lady came in, and she said, I know that you're not really comfortable giving announcements, because I know that so-and-so usually did it, and they're sick, and you had to do it, but I want you to know that you do a great job when you do the announcements. And then she walked on. Now, what did that cost her? Absolutely nothing. But I'll tell you what, it was a great thing. You know, sometimes we treasure things in our heart. Boy, I stuck that in my heart. That's a great thing. An encourager. She could have just gone about her business and not said anything. But I know that that man had to feel better after she talked to him. Another thing we can do is we can invite people to worship. It's really not that hard. Next Sunday, why don't you come go with me to worship? I'll take you out to eat afterwards. Come and see. Come and see. That's three little easy words. Come and see. We got a great preacher. Come and see. We have a loving congregation. Come and see. Come and see. Give people the opportunity to hear the gospel be taught. What we're saying this morning is, let's not worry about the things we cannot do, but let us find the things we can do and do them with all our heart. Let us be a people that looks for good things to do and then do them. Now, if we're all doing that, what kind of place is this going to be? It's going to be God's place. You're here this morning, and you're a Christian. I want you to think about what you've done in the past. I don't want you to feel bad if you haven't been doing what you need to do, but I want you to determine from this day forward that you will do all that you can do, and look for things that you can do, and do them. Maybe you're here this morning, though, and you're not a Christian. We never like to leave without offering the invitation. You know, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and preached, and he said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. You know what? They believed what he said. He said, you crucified Jesus the Christ. What did they need to do? They needed to repent. That's changed their life to do what God would have them to do and be baptized. Baptized for what? For the remission of sins. So God would remove their sins.
Jesus put it this way in Mark chapter 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. If you're here this morning and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can stand before those of us who are present and affirm that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. You can affirm that you believe that he is the Son of God. You can be buried in the waters of baptism, buried into Christ's death and into his burial. Rise with him in newness of life, God removing your sin and giving you a new life. And then we can work together, grow together, and one day go to be with God eternally. If you have a need today, if we can help you in any way, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?